Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and we welcome you to this hour and 25-minute live talk program where we cover the issues of the day. Ed Vitagliano is co-hosting with me today. Ed, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I had to finish my text to my wife.
I understand.
Yeah.
I fully understand.
When my wife texts, I gotta answer.
Yeah. It's more important than this show right now.
Because I'm done
priorities.
Now.
Yes.
That's what I'm done now.
Fred Jackson, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, I don't text during the show, Tim. I just try to avoid that.
You don't even have a cell phone.
Your wife does, you will. You have a cell phone. I tell you what. Another thing is, do you guys text and walk?
I have done that around the building. I don't do it like outside.
Yeah.
But I have done that around the building.
I have stopped. Brent, do you text and walk? I have to stop now. EJ, slow down to a crawl.
Yeah.
Anyway, because I'm going to run into something or somebody.
Yeah.
You know. And then, don't you love the texting where the words come up automatically and it's not the word you chose?
The autocorrect. Oh, you got to be very
careful.
And then
you send it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I know. The marvels of modern technology.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, tell folks how they can join us on what you call that their internet.
Yes, you can go to either YouTube or Facebook and search for Today's Issues. That's the name of this show.
Search for it, people.
Search. Just search.
Yes.
Stop what you're doing and search.
On Facebook or YouTube, just type in the meaning of life.
Yes, that's right.
And you will find our show right
there. Today's Issues will come up. And then click through, and you can watch us online.
Okay. All right. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour.
With some good news, some fantastic news.
Absolutely. We can't wait to share that with you. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Fred, what's happening?
You know, we've been talking about the Georgia voting law, the changes that were made there that kind of bring it in line with many other states in the country. Like having ID on absentee ballots. We see that in other states like Delaware, the home state of the president. But yesterday, President Joe Biden continued his insistence that what Georgia has done is their motivation is racism. Now, I want you to listen. Peter Doocy, a son of Steve Doocy, one of the hosts of Fox News, he's now the White House reporter for Fox News, Peter Doocy, asked the president yesterday about the fact that Major League Baseball not going to do the All-Star game in Atlanta, moving to Denver. And I want you to have a listen to what the president had to say. This is cut number two.
Do you think the Masters golf tournament should be moved out of Georgia?
I think that's up to the Masters. Look, it is reassuring to see that for-profit operations and businesses are speaking up about how these new Jim Crow laws are just antithetical to who we are. The other side to it, too, is when they, in fact, move out of Georgia, the people who need the help the most, people who are making hourly wages, sometimes get hurt the most. But it's the best way to deal with this is for Georgia and other states to smarten up.
Other states to smarten up. Again, the Georgia law, in many ways, is more liberal still after the changes than like Delaware, than like Colorado. And this is what people are confused about. Comment last night from Greg Gutfeld on Fox about all of this. Cut number one.
Once the media decided the Georgia voting bill was evil by demanding the same steps you'd need to get a library card, what did Major League Baseball do? They moved the game from Atlanta, which is 51% black, to Denver, which is 76% white. What were they smoking? Well, it is Colorado, so maybe weed. Because you got to be mile high to think this was a solution. For a number of reasons that aren't Colorado's fault. It's just that in this new woke world, skin color is everything. So to help black people, MLB moved the game to Denver, which is whiter than the slopes in Aspen, and made sure black-owned businesses in Atlanta just lost millions in profit. Like most woke policies, they make the folks in charge feel good while harming the people they insist they're helping.
Bingo.
Wow, that's all. That was well played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's he's talking about the Major League Baseball's decision to move the All-Star game. You know what? We mentioned this yesterday with Coca-Cola, with Delta Airlines, with somebody said Home Depot issued a statement related to this statement about this, condemning the Georgia voting law. It's all virtue signaling, all right? They don't mean it, okay? They don't really have core convictions about issues. I'm talking about these big corporations. Why, you say? Because look what they're doing in China, all right? These businesses, every one of them I mentioned, I don't know about Home Depot, but I know Delta and Coca-Cola, for example, and Major League Baseball, all are investing heavily in expanding their products into communist China, okay? So these are the same companies who are going after Georgia for basically wanting a voters to have an ID so we can tell who you are. They're going after them. While they're making money, a lot of money, in a country that doesn't vote at all.
Right. Right.
Okay, that's why I say they're rank hypocrites. They're cowards, the leaders of these companies. Their boards of directors should call them on this, actually, if they had any guts about to go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I would love to ask some of these CEOs this question. Of course, you never will be able to because they won't do interviews
right.
with people who will ask them questions,
right.
ask tough questions.
Kind of like Kamala Harris.
Yes. I want to ask them, then why force people to vote on ballots? Because their big argument is this is restrictive. Having to show an ID to prove you are who you are in order to vote is restricting voting. Okay, so I want to know, why do we have to vote on ballots? That restricts voting. Why can't you turn it in on a piece of paper from a notebook?
Why don't you phone it in?
Why don't you? How about the back of a Big Mac wrapper? Okay,
yeah.
Or a receipt from Walmart. No, you have to actually vote on ballots because that's the only way you can tell if the vote is legitimate. But, Mr. CEO, that restricts voting. Think about how many millions more votes could be cast if they wouldn't have to actually use a ballot. You see how absurd that is?
Yeah.
Just because you are restricting voting doesn't mean it's an evil practice, which
right,
is why you
right.
have to actually vote on a ballot
right.
and not turn in a burger wrapper.
Not awesome. To mention the fact to get on a Delta airplane, you have to show ID.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What, Delta, why don't you just say, listen, we are not going to be restrictive on who gets on our airplanes anymore because that's discriminatory. And so we're going to open up our planes to any and all.
Yeah.
All you need to do is tell us who you are.
Yeah.
Yes. You walk up in line and tell the person seating you that, you know, you can have a ticket. Here's your ticket. Here's your seat assignment. But you don't need an ID.
No.
Because minority people can't get IDs.
Right.
That's their argument about
right.
voting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So it's all a bunch of baloney. It's just, some of these boards of directors of these companies and their shareholders, they're going to be the ones, and customers, they're going to be the ones who are going to have to speak up, especially the shareholders and the board of directors of these companies. Because, you know, the guy from Red Bull, the CEO of Red Bull a few months ago, he had this happen in his company. He had a woke rebellion, and he fired them all.
Good.
Good.
Good. That's what Wesley, my son, told me. Wesley said, I've been drinking 7 Red Bulls a day since.
I thought he's been a little energetic.
I know.
What are you doing bouncing off those walls?
Well, gosh, you know, go golfing with him. He hits it 500 yards, you know, and is mad at himself for not being.
Coming
anyway.
Up short.
Anyway, because in the end, they're only going to hurt themselves, these companies, because if the woke, secular, progressive policies are instituted when it comes to economics, guess what? These people are socialist, communist, and they're going to come after. They're going to come after capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you're right. These CEOs from Delta, Coca-Cola, Major League Baseball, they've yet to explain, or I doubt they will. What their specific objections are with the Georgia law. If you want to at least be specific so we can have a look at the merits of your claim, okay?
Yes.
Secondly, answer the question about doing business in a communist state that persecutes their citizens.
Right.
Okay, how does that jive with your, quote, corporate values
that
you cite for the Georgia situation?
Joe Biden, so he's praising those who are boycotting Georgia. All right. This story just came in 20 minutes ago. I didn't change the headline, the Associated Press headline. China warns Washington not to boycott Winter Olympics.
Warns us.
China's government warned Washington on Wednesday not to boycott next year's Winter Olympics in Beijing after the Biden administration said it was talking with allies about a joint approach to complaints about human rights abuses. The story goes on to talk about the abuses, the Uyghurs being persecuted, Christians being persecuted.
Yeah.
These companies all know that. Joe Biden.
Right.
But as you get down in the story, the U.S. State Department suggested an Olympic boycott was among the possibilities, but a senior official said later a boycott has not even been discussed. So the United States, the president of the United States, praising companies for boycotting Georgia.
Right.
But we're okay.
Right.
Joe Biden says we're okay sending our people into a communist nation that persecutes its people.
Now, who responded to the question about boycotting the Beijing Olympics?
U.S. State Department suggested, but what he said
suggested
is...
Suggested what?
Suggested an Olympic boycott was among the possibilities, but a senior official said later a boycott has not been discussed.
They walked it back.
Okay. So Biden will have to make a decision on something like that. He's not going to be able to avoid that, whether or not you're going to go to the Winter Olympics.
I think they're going to avoid all kinds of things. I mean, I'm not trying to change the subject. They're avoiding discussing what's happening on the border. I think in terms of what China does to its people, I don't think they have any intention of addressing it in a public way, like with a boycott.
Okay. But what I'm saying is if President Biden doesn't withdraw the United States from the Olympic Games in China, that's next year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Communist China. That will be answering the question.
Yeah, okay, I see.
Okay, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That will be answering. He may be able to avoid for, I don't know how long, not directly answering the question.
Does that article say what the warning was from China?
A foreign ministry spokesperson rejected accusations of abuses against ethnic minorities in the region. He warned of an unspecified, robust Chinese response to a potential Olympics boycott.
A robust Chinese... Sounds like they're threatening.
Yeah, they're going to release COVID-20. On the world.
I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, they can do all kinds of things because these corporations who are calling for boycotts of Georgia do so much business in China. China says, Coca-Cola, hey, take your machines out of our country.
Yeah.
You know, my father-in-law passed away 12, 15 years ago, but he was in management in business in America and corporations for his career. But I remember he and him having this conversation 25 years ago. He said, we're going to rue the day that we get in bed with communist China.
Amen.
And
boy,
rue is the right word, right?
Yes.
We're going to rue the day. He was saying back then, and look what's happened. Now we're so interconnected, we're so joined at the hip with China economically. Mm-hmm. And they seem now to have, well, anytime you have a totalitarian government, right, they don't have to go through their Congress to get a decision made. So, and what we learned from COVID-19 is, and this is scary, and I don't want to exaggerate the, well, I don't know, can you exaggerate the seriousness of the problem? Do you remember when we learned that China has all the ingredients for our medicine? Is that the right way to put it?
Yes, we get almost all of our prescription drugs.
Mm. That's what I'm saying. Prescription drugs. They have the ingredients.
Formulas.
Sound like we're baking a cake here. Mm-hmm. But what do you call them? Natural resources. The products you use to make these medicines. These
raw materials.
Whatever. Well, they
raw
they
materials.
Have,
those kind.
I know they Is have right? the raw materials for a lot of our computer.
We're so articulate.
Yeah,
today,
I know. Can we
find a few more uhs and does and you know what I'm saying?
They basically have cornered the market on all the raw materials that are used for the for compute. This is just because I'm just a computer loser. For all the I can't come up with it. For all the computer parts,
we ought to have a radio show.
Yes, we should. Plus, I apologize. I cannot come up with the word that I need because I'm just computer ignorant. But they also produce all the prescription drugs that our companies and Big Pharma uses.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to the Times of India. Well, you took 2 minutes to say what should have taken 30 seconds, right? And I did too. Thanks to the Times of India. And Google.
Yes.
I do thank Google for this on this one. China supplies over 80% of pharma raw materials. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, should a communist totalitarian government want to shut down, want to make a lot of us die here in America by threatening this, they could do it.
Yep.
They could do it if they wanted to. So go ahead, Ed.
Yes. So
did you also find what you wanted to say?
Rare earth materials for computers, X-ray machines, and cameras and mobile phones.
Okay, that's half of what we do every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right there, almost. So between that and controlling the products that we use to make our drugs.
Yes.
You talk about having leverage, right?
Yeah.
Not to mention our tennis shoes.
Huh? That's true.
We're not going to see any more tennis shoes if China shuts us down. What I'm saying, it's a very serious situation. So back to your original point and question. What can China do? What does China mean when they say you better not do anything to impact the Winter Olympic Games that we're hosting in Beijing in 2022? That's what they mean.
Robust Chinese response.
Yeah. China, who was it that said the other day they bought Africa.
All the raw materials.
Raw materials. They've got a lot of investments right here in the United States.
Oh, yes.
And they also own a lot of our debt. I don't know about a lot, but a few trillion dollars of it, I think. So, I mean, they have tremendous leverage in the world economically.
It reminds China. Me of the stupidity.
And they don't have red tape to deal with. Go ahead.
Right. No pun intended. Yeah. Red yes, China.
Right.
It reminds me of the stupidity of the West, and including the United States, when we were all dependent, and many countries still are. The U.S. has moved away from it, but dependent upon oil from OPEC, Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries in the Middle East. You sit there and you think, why would you make yourself dependent on nations that don't like you for something as critical as oil?
And what we've just been talking about was the basic platform of Donald Trump when he ran for president.
Yes.
Make America great again. How do you make America great again? You make it less dependent on China and the Arab world for oil. And that's why corporate America turned against Donald Trump, because he went tough on Beijing.
He went tough. That's why corporate America turned against him?
Yes. That is one of the, that's one of the reasons why, because he was ticking off the leadership in Beijing by demanding renew the trade deals. So it gave a better deal to America. Corporate America didn't like that. They're afraid of China. They are afraid of China. So that's why they turned against Donald Trump.
Well, I also think that they wanted to be able to increase and maximize their profits. I understand that is a capitalist, a part of capitalist ideology, because a lot of these companies wanted that really cheap labor in China.
Yep.
That's why they also wanted that really cheap labor in Mexico to produce products much more cheaply than they could produce them if Donald Trump kind of put pressure on them to open up factories here in this country.
Yep. One more thought here. Our good friend Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, he said something interesting in relationship to what corporations are doing with Georgia. He said, there's a saying attributed to Vladimir Lenin that communism would ultimately prevail because stupid capitalists would sell the rope that the communists would use to hang them. When the Soviet Union fell, I thought Lenin was wrong. This is Gary Bauer talking. But Coca-Cola, Delta, and other Fortune 500 companies seem intent on proving Lenin right. Mm-hmm. We're selling our soul. Corporate America is selling the soul of America to these communist countries.
You know, the appropriate response for a company like Delta or Coca-Cola, et cetera, is to say this. We don't get involved in the politics of states. Our employees are Democrats. Our employees are Republicans. Mm-hmm. Unless a state law impacts our business directly, we stay out of it. Mm-hmm. That's the appropriate response. We do business in 50 states. We got 50 different legislatures and governors, and people vote differently. So we got Republic, we got blue states, we got red states. We're not getting involved in everything that comes down the pipe in these individual states. So that should have been their approach here in Georgia. And instead, they decided to speak out, and they speak out while they don't tell you what they're speaking out about, other than this generality of opposing the Georgia state voting law. Folks, and for Biden to call it Jim Crow.
Continue to.
Jim Crow laws prevented black people from voting.
Period. Right.
It was, huh? And he's comparing this, having to show a voter ID, with not being able to vote at all.
Right.
In the old segregated South. And he gets away with it for the most part, although the Washington Post called him out on it and said you get four Pinocchios, which means you're just lying to people. And he keeps lying.
Yes.
He keeps saying, he said it again. We just played it. He said it again yesterday.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's what we're dealing with in Washington, D.C. as far as the president. The vice president is AWOL.
Huh? Where's Kamala?
She doesn't even, what does she do? The vice president of the United States.
She laughs.
She went to a bakery yesterday in Chicago. That was her visit yesterday. So we'll be back in a minute. Hey, we've got some great news to share with you. Abraham Hamilton III will join us to talk about it in just a moment.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
I think that once the church is gone and these dilemmas even spiral more out of control, which they will, people clearly are going to run into the arms of the Antichrist. He'll be the new savior.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. The Biden administration plans to spend more than $86 million to house illegal alien families in hotels. Immigration and Customs Enforcement will oversee the project, providing medical care, food service, social workers, and China virus testing, all paid for with your tax dollars. The feds say hotel rooms are a safer option than border patrol stations. Not only is the border open, ICE will leave the light on for you. By the way, let's do the math on President Biden's vacation at the border. If you take 182 days, multiply by 1,200 illegal alien families, and divide that number by 86 million, that comes out to $395 per night, give or take a few hundred thousand bucks. What are they doing, housing everybody at the Ritz-Carlton? One final point here. While illegal alien families enjoy turndown service courtesy of American taxpayers, National Guard troops in our nation's capital had to sleep on concrete floors in a parking garage. I'm Todd Starnes.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us a email, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Well, we promised some good news. You know, how often do you scan a website or pick up a newspaper and you read about some judge, some liberal whacked out judge making some kind of decision? And you just go, how in the world, you know, how in the world does this happen?
Are they reading the Constitution?
Yeah. Yes. Who's picking these judges? How does this happen? Well, we got some good news to report, a major news impacting Christians across the country, in particular in religious freedom. In a more broad sense, joining us to talk about it is our own constitutional attorney, Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is heard weekdays from 5 to 6 o'clock right here on AFR, 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Tell us about this story.
Yeah, this is a case out of Michigan. This was filed in a district court in Michigan. The case is styled InterVarsity Christian Fellowship versus Wayne State University. The issue in this case was that the Wayne State University chapter of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship had applied for recognition as a registered student organization on campus. When they filed that application, they had to submit their constitution, their organizational documents, and they also had to submit their criteria for leadership in the organization. This Christian student organization had the audacity to require that its officers and student leaders be committed Christians themselves. Wayne State University administrative brass said that that exclusive limitation on their leadership and officers violated their anti-discrimination policy, which prohibited discrimination on the basis of sex, gender, religious belief, etc. The students in response specifically stated, well, every other student organization on campus requires their leaders to maintain values and beliefs consistent with the organization. And there also is this thing called the First Amendment that protects our religious beliefs. Well, the university persisted, revoked their official status as a registered student organization. And they did that to InterVarsity as well as a couple other organizations. But InterVarsity said, no, we're going to fight you. We're not going to capitulate to this requirement that we leave our Christian distinctives in order to be a Christian student organization. I mean, they evangelize on campus. They have worship services. They do Bible studies. They, you know, they have Bible teaching. They are a Christian religious organization. And so thankfully, Judge Robert Cleland of the Michigan District Court ruled in favor of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which, if you're paying attention to this litigation, that isn't new. That isn't novel. There's a bevy of case law out there, a bevy of cases where student organizations are being recognized for having First Amendment religious beliefs. But Judge Cleland went the further step and allowed InterVarsity to sue administrators, vice presidents of the universities in their individual capacity. Judge Cleland specifically mentioned that the student group pointed the school and these individual administrators to the Constitution, pointed them, directed them to what they should have known was the appropriate legal standard. And so as a result, these administrators will not be able to hide behind a corporate qualified immunity, but they will be able to be sued personally for participating in this crushing of these students' First Amendment rights at Wayne State University, which is a pretty broad and decisive victory for religious freedom and for the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Wayne State chapter.
Abe, I'm amazed that Wayne State University thought they could get away with this. It's really interesting. They were, the student group, InterVarsity group, was represented by the Beckett Fund. In their petition, it said, Wayne State rightly allows fraternities to have only male leaders, female athletic clubs to have only female leaders, and African-American clubs to have only African-American leaders. And the judge picked up on that, pointed out how other student groups were able to restrict leadership based on sex, gender identity, political partisanship, creed, ethnicity, GPA, or attractiveness. But the small group of Christians, I'm quoting from the judge here, were denied student organization benefits because they require their Christian leaders to be Christian. As I say, Abe, I'm amazed that these officials at Wayne State University thought they could get away with persecuting this Christian group.
That is a great observation to make, and there are a couple other facts that are responsive to that observation. First, it's important for the listeners to know that this case stemmed from 2017. So they've been litigating this case for quite some time. We're in 2021 now, but the issue occurred in 2017. But in addition to that, Judge Cleland pointed out, and this is in a couple footnotes in the opinion, in his decision, that there were several other Christian groups. There was one that was a women's Christian group, Virtue 31 or something like that, that limited its leadership to women. And they voluntarily abandoned that exclusive requirement for their leadership. There was another Christian organization that capitulated and abandoned that leadership. So what happened is that when the school tried to bully Christians, several other Christian organizations folded, which probably emboldened them to think that I will get away with it. These other ones will fold too. But they were probably unpleasantly surprised when InterVarsity showed up with Beckett to litigate on their behalf. But my point in response to what you're saying is that if Goliath can stand across the field and just express his taunts and nobody shows up, well, Goliath wins by default. And that is what's happening. There's an increase in hostility and animosity toward Christianity in our country as a whole. And so what is necessary is for some Christians to stand up and say, you know what? We're not going to fold and bow out without standing firmly on our God-breathed convictions. This is God's work that we're doing, and we're going to fight to preserve it.
I do have a question, A, but I do want to comment on something that Fred said. He was talking about the list of restrictions that groups on college campuses can have in terms of membership and leadership, you know, race, creed, you know, political affiliation, and attractiveness. I know that when I was at Boston College, I was kept out of a group because I wasn't attractive enough. So I have felt that pain.
That was probably hurtful.
It was hurtful. But I will say that they have the right to do it if that's what they want. So I've personally...
They have the right to be wrong.
I personally was stung by that. One of the things I want to mention here is that I think that this qualified immunity you mentioned for officers of a college or a university is something that I'm glad the Sixth Circuit hit with this ruling. Now, the Sixth Circuit, that's Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee, I think, right?
I have a map right in front of me.
This is going to be important going forward because I think when you are an officer of a public college or university, it is easy for you to think, well, okay, I know we're oppressing these young people and ignoring their constitutional rights, but hey, no skin off my nose. If we lose, the college will pay, and the taxpayer will pay. This ruling might give some of these wise guys a second thought on this if they themselves can personally be held liable for egregious trampling of obvious constitutional rights.
Yeah, that's a great point to mention. I have a close personal friend who works for ADF, and he particularly is involved in college campus litigation for First Amendment rights there. And I remember a couple weeks ago I was on TI with you guys, and we talked about how the young man in Georgia prevailed against a state school there because he simply wanted to evangelize. And then they said, you can only do it from this one space on the campus. And he did that. Then the school said, no, you can't even do that there. And so just exactly what you said, when these people do this, violate the Constitution, they then really have no skin in the game because, like, well, the taxpayers will pay or the school will pay or somebody else will pay. But with Judge Cleland, and we're beginning to see this happen more and more, when you have particular administrators, particular officials to whom the proper legal standard has been presented. What Judge Cleland is picking up on is that those officers have a responsibility to examining what has been presented. Wait a minute. Am I wrong on the law on this? And so when one of the major legal thresholds that's being traversed in holding these administrators liable personally is when they have been specifically directed to the proper law and yet they persist in trampling constitutional rights, then the courts are starting to hold these specific administrators personally responsible for the decisions that they're making.
Abe, one last question. What level judge is this?
This is a district court judge, but he's governed by the Sixth Circuit. And Ed was right. Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee are the states governed by the Sixth Circuit. He particularly cited Sixth Circuit precedent because that precedent is binding on his district court. So this is at the federal district court level, but he cited such a robust bank of Sixth Circuit precedent. He's basically saying that shame on you.
It is a federal federal State. Judge, though.
It's a federal district court judge. That's right.
Okay. In the universe, there's God, and then there's Google, and then there's federal judges. That's kind of the rank of the universe, in case you've wondered, folks. All right, Abe, thank you, brother. This is great
thank
news,
you.
Do you know if this judge, who this judge was appointed by?
I can look it up.
Look it up right here. Look it up. Who was this judge appointed by?
I'll tell you, while he's looking this up, let me just say that one of the things Abe mentioned was couple of Christian groups folded. Christians, you have to have a spine.
Yes.
You've got to be willing to fight for what you believe is right.
Right.
And we're talking about something as basic as having a Christian group and requiring the leadership of that Christian group to be practicing Christians. If you can't stand when the fight is like this, How are you going to stand
right
if it's ever your life that's put on the line?
Right. We do have a lot of wimpy Christians out there.
Yeah.
And wimpy Christian leaders, too.
Well, what was the fold? That nationally known adoption agency that caved.
Was it Bethany?
Yeah, it was Bethany.
They caved, and they're going to start placing foster kids and kids for adoption in homosexual homes.
Yeah. You know, the old expression, Christians, we shouldn't go looking for a fight. But when the fight comes to us, you cannot fold. You cannot go weak-kneed because you're giving up our constitutional rights.
Yes.
And our freedoms and our liberties and our way of life. And did you find out who he was appointed by?
Yeah. Judge Robert Cleland is the senior judge at the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan. He was appointed by George H.W. Bush.
Okay. Well, that just goes to show you again how important it is who appoints the federal judge. That isn't always the case, Republican or Democrat, but most times we find that Republican, if you're going to have a judge that supports the Constitution, especially with respect to religious freedom, it's a Republican-appointed federal judge. Thank you, Abe. Take care, my friend.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
That's Abe Hamilton with some good news there. That was InterVarsity. They're a well-known campus ministry, right?
Yes. Been around for years.
Yeah.
And kudos to the leadership of that group.
Yes.
For going to Beckett Fund.
Yes.
And saying, we're going to fight this.
And you know why? Because there comes a moment when you understand that if we don't, this is a hill to die on. If we don't fight here, we don't exist as a ministry anymore.
Right.
We don't, our mission will never be fulfilled because this is a fight we have to fight and we can't lose it.
This also goes to show you the woke, secular, quote, progressives, I call them socialist communists, really, is what they are when you get down to it. These folks who hate Christians, we are in their crosshairs.
Yes.
In particular, conservative Christians in America are the number one enemy of this crowd. And here's one example of the evidence I submit. This university, Wayne State University. In Michigan.
Yep.
A state university. Mm-hmm. Their campus leadership didn't have a problem with the Muslim group having Muslim leadership.
Yes.
Or any other group having leadership in their campus organizations, ministries, that required them to adhere to the beliefs of said group. Mm-hmm. They only picked on this Christian group, InterVarsity, mm-hmm. and said, "No, you can't exclude people from being in leadership in your campus ministry if they say they're not Christians or don't subscribe to your beliefs."
Mm-hmm.
So they were picking on this group. That's what this judge said.
Yes.
They were picking on this group. Mm. What I can tell you is, without even knowing the leadership there at that university, they're the kind of people I just described a minute ago. So they hate Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Who you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, who are genuine Christians.
Yeah.
You can be okay if you're a Christian, but you don't follow the teachings of the Bible.
Right.
Listen, you remember a couple of weeks ago in the midst of March Madness when Oral Roberts University won two big upset games against Ohio State and Florida, I think. And it was a big Cinderella story, which March Madness, the NCAA, everyone loves that. And you remember the USA Today columnist?
Yeah.
She said because Oral Roberts University holds to biblical beliefs about human sexuality, the NCAA should ban them from playing basketball against other NCAA schools.
Yes.
Yeah. What a shocking... That was a USA Today columnist who writes regularly for USA Today saying that.
A national newspaper /website, and they felt good enough about the argument to put it forth publicly.
So that's the kind of hostility you're talking about, Tim.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, you know, over the last several weeks, we have had much praise for the folks in Arkansas for some of the laws that they've passed. For instance, a law dealing with not allowing transgenders to, you know, a male who says he's a female to play in female sports. That was one of the things. And the governor, Asa Hutchinson, much praise for him. But it
kind of signing that bill.
For signing that bill. But it shocked us earlier this week when he vetoed a bill aimed at banning gender confirmation treatments and surgery for transgender youth. He vetoed that. Now, late yesterday afternoon, the Republican lawmakers in that state overrode the governor's veto. But there were questions why the governor, who has been so solid in these other areas, why did he veto that particular bill? And so last night, he was on with Tucker Carlson to explain to people why he felt he should veto that particular bill. Cut number five.
If this was about prohibiting procedures, sex reassignment surgery, absolutely, I would have signed that bill. But this, again, is the first law in the nation that invokes the state between medical decisions, parents who consent to that, and the decision of the patient. And so this goes way too far. And in fact, it doesn't even have a grandfather clause that those young people that are under hormonal treatments,
correct you for a second. Well, this is chemical castration, of course. If you stop puberty and suppress the sex hormones, you're chemically castrating someone. And there are all kinds of things in Arkansas kids in every state are not allowed to do. Get married, drink a beer, get a tattoo. Why do you think it's important for conservatives to make certain that children can block their puberty, be chemically castrated? Why is that a conservative value?
First of all, you have parents involved in very difficult decisions. You have physicians that are involved in these decisions. And I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoning a limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above healthcare, over and above parents?
You buying that, Ed?
No, I watched that exchange. First of all, let me just say this. I applaud Governor Asa Hutchinson for going on Tucker Carlson because he knew he was going to. Yeah. Tucker Carlson's been all over this issue, not just in Arkansas, but nationally. So the governor of Arkansas was courageous in doing that. But I listened to it. It was about a 10-minute exchange between Tucker Carlson and Governor Hutchinson. And I was very disappointed in the governor's argument that this is a conservative value, limited government. Limited government does not mean no government at all. That seems to be the implication of what the governor was saying. I take a Romans 13 perspective on government. The role of government is to promote what is good and punish what is evil. And I think it is evil. I don't care if it's a doctor or not. Doctors perform all kinds of can perform all kinds of evil acts, including abortion, okay, including forced sterilization. Things that doctors, quote unquote, have done. The Tuskegee Airmen, okay, using black pilots as guinea pigs to experiment on. So doctors can perform all kinds of evil acts. Government is there to prevent that. And this, with chemical castration and puberty blockers, is evil. Because we're talking about minors. I don't care if it's a parent doing it. Right. Parents can commit evils too. We do not know. The state of medicine and scientific knowledge at this point does not know yet what some of these drugs they're giving kids will do long term. It is government's duty, Governor, from the Bible, and Governor Hutchinson is a Christian, to prevent what is evil, and I think the Arkansas legislature did what was right in passing this law. The governor should have signed it.
Well, I was amazed about the idea that the government doesn't want to interfere in the relationship between parent and child. There are laws on the books if a parent is abusing a child.
Right.
This is abuse.
The government steps in.
Okay, let me make sure I understand this right. what the governor's saying there, because I didn't see the interview with Tucker Carlson, except the clips that I've heard. Is Governor Hutchison saying that if a parent chooses to give his child, his or her child, hormonal, what do you call them?
Well,
hormone blockers, puberty blockers. In other words, give them drugs that tries to help them turn themselves from a male to a female, or a female to a male. That's the purpose of the drug,
yes.
Right?
Well, it is. It is to, like, if a young girl thinks she's a boy, and her body, she does not want her body to become, quote unquote, a female body.
Yeah.
You give them the drugs that keep that from happening.
Okay. Not only the drugs, but surgery.
Right.
As well.
Okay, but surgery as well. So am I hearing the governor say he doesn't want to stop that?
That's what he's saying.
He's saying it's not government's role to get between doctors and parents doing what they think is best for the child. That is the argument.
So, wow. You're talking about, and that what you were referring to and what Tucker Carlson was referring to, you're talking about something that could permanently, or kill them, eventually, could in some ways, but it certainly permanently change somebody's, try to...
It does permanently change them.
Okay, and they're minors.
And
he's saying, the governor's saying, the government of Arkansas has no business in that decision.
This is what gets me. That's the same argument that pro-abortion people make.
Yes.
It is the same argument. The government has no business coming between a woman who wants an abortion and her doctor who will perform it. So, Governor Hutchison, if you are pro-life, you would have to say, I'm against any laws that would make abortion illegal. I mean, this is a cop-out on the part of the governor.
For what reason would you think? Care for a motivation?
He probably spoke with pro-transgender ideology people who said, and this is part of the exchange that Tucker Carlson had with the governor. The governor said, listen, a lot of these young children, they are depressed because they think they're in their wrong body. Now, let me just tell you this. The vast majority of children or young people who feel that they're in the wrong body, I'm using air quotes here, actually grow out of it.
Yeah.
They actually come to grips with the confusion they have, and they then adapt to the fact that they are a young boy is going to become a man, so on and so forth. So what the governor is saying is that the depression this child feels at 8 years old should be dealt with puberty blockers. And what Tucker Carlson said was, you know what, the facts are also that after young people go through this transition, again, quote unquote, they're still depressed. Mm-hmm. You're not curing anything. And in fact, you may be preventing them from coming to grips with their confusion and growing out of that confusion by permanently changing their body.
Yeah, I didn't buy his argument about this being a conservative principle.
No.
Huh?
That's weak.
I mean,
take a stand on the morality of what's going on here, Governor.
This is not hard.
Right. Right.
Huh? It's not a hard decision. Anyway. All right. So, I guess a good news, bad news. The
fight still goes on.
Yeah, and the governor had his veto overridden.
Yes. Kudos to those lawmakers.
In Arkansas.
Yep.
That's a fight worth having. The legislature and the legislators stuck by their guns. They stayed with what they thought was right, regardless of what the governor did. So
we're going to take a break right here. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.